one dude. But now you know what we're all about. And all
yeah.
Now,
what?
Now you know what Justin's all about.
Let's just keep on going. I think this is great.
Alright.
Go piano.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of Bitnator Rewind, Bitnator's retro gaming podcast. I'm your host, Justin, and joining me are fellow Bitnator editors, Sam.
Hey there.
Josh.
Hello.
And Kevin.
Okay.
What we do on this podcast, as you may have guessed from the name, is we play retro games, and then we talk about them, because that's what we do. Retro games, meaning PS2 era and behind, so that includes GameCube, Xbox, so that's where we set the line. So, hint, hint, when we do our request games in the future, do not request a PS3 game. I will not respond, and we will not do it.
No, just request Xbox One games.
Xbox One.
No, original Xbox.
Yeah, right, exactly, Xbox One.
No. Alright, so, our first game that we decided on was Indigo Prophecy.
It's just quick side note, it's also called Fahrenheit, I believe, somewhere in Europe?
Yeah, actually, everywhere else, it's actually called Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit, only in the United States it was called Indigo Prophecy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, that's interesting.
I actually like Fahrenheit better as a name, but whatever. We chose this cult classic because, well, it lends itself very well to the format that we're using for the podcast, and it would work as the first episode, because it's story driven. So we'll just get right into the game.
And it's good.
And it's a really good game. I love it.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
So, opening credits. Game starts. You got Natalie Chody in there. She's one of the people that made the game.
Yes.
David Cage, who you may know from Heavy Rain and the guest of the Quantic Dream game.
Yeah,
and Polygons.
All the Polygons? Is
all
really
the Polygons.
And there's some tech demo of the PS4 reveal, yeah.
All right, so I didn't play the tutorial here.
Oh my god.
For this tutorial, it was the best.
So, do you guys want to elaborate on that?
Can I talk about this?
Go ahead, Sam.
Alright, so, it's been a while. It's been about 4 years since you and Josh showed me the game, so I'm like, alright, might as well refresh what's going on. Tutorial. And I was really surprised at what kind of a tutorial was, because this kind of game probably was like, nowhere, like, imagined, like, in the heyday, like, 2005 or 4, whenever this game came out. So, obviously, we had to, like, put something in there to let the players know, like, how, like, you use both sticks to do different motions and, like, actions and things like that. So, it starts off with an in-game model of David Cage, the game's director, walking you through basic directions, and you're playing as, like, a crash test dummy, walking around and doing these motions. And I just... From the first onset, I loved hearing, like, his voice, and, like, he was so French, but, like, I don't know, I just thought,
so French.
I thought it was fantastic the way
I
he, like,
love his accent.
And, like, it got crazy toward the end, because it's just like, oh, man, you need to fucking dodge police cars, and it's like, oh, my God! And I messed up the first couple times, and I'm like, my God, my reflexes are so slow. But,
I think it was good that they included the tutorial, especially since it includes some of the most awkward controls for a third-person game ever.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. The camera.
Yeah. The camera issues.
We can't forget about Bob.
Where forward means left, and left means the original left that you were taking before, not the new left that the camera made.
I'm sorry, was Bob the crash test dummy you played as in the tutorial?
Yeah. Yeah, and you can call him sexy if you want.
Yes, I did.
I did too.
I'm like, yeah, Bob.
He's like,
sexy.
Did you hear that, Bob?
Sexy Bob.
Dialogue tests.
Unique
tutorial.
Josh,
very,
you have anything else to add?
No.
Awesome. So we'll get into the hack game now. So chapter 1 starts. You see some, I think there's some snow. Yeah, there's some snow. And you're in New York.
A minimal snow.
And then you're all of a sudden bathroom.
Yeah, that was something that threw me for a loop. It's just like, alright, cool, some dude, probably like 30s, 40, whatever, he's an older guy, washing his hands, and then stall door opens, and it's just, yeah, oh my god, I can't believe it, I just forgot his, oh my god, what was the main character's name? I cannot believe I forgot
Lucas.
That.
Lucas Kane.
But you don't know this at that point, you don't know his name. So,
yeah.
So he's a man, he's got his wrists all jacked up, and you're just in, it's like first person view at this point. So you just go and you kill this guy.
Yeah, like it's like, whoa, it opens with a bang. It's like, you just killed somebody. And then all of a sudden the game's like, alright, go. And you're like, whoa. And like, good thing I played the tutorial, cause I remember when you guys first showed me this, I'm like, what? I'm just, what did I do? I was bugging out, cause it just seriously throws you in and you go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It opens up like an opening cinematic, and it's like, oh, by the way, that's you. Go.
Yeah, I love how it just like, puts you in there.
You may have felt like you would have been the police, like, coming up after, like, the murder happened. It's like, no, you are the murderer, by the way.
Kevin, you have anything?
Yeah, well, that first scene is just, alright, my initiation to the gameplay, I feel like, was extremely frustrating, because... Like, I don't know, I mean, maybe you guys had, like, some experience with this before. You, like, played Heavy Rain, like, more than once, and you played this before a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But, like, I just had no idea what was going on, and, like, everything was so suspenseful. I didn't know what to do. I, like, did random things, like, I washed my hands in the sink. Them, and then I used the toilet. I didn't think of hiding the body or the murder weapon or anything. So I got called by the cop like four separate times.
Oh my god. So they washed your hands and walked out like nothing happened.
Yeah, but here's the thing also, and this is something that wasn't in Heavy Rain really, where like if you fail, he narrates it as if that was part of the story.
Oh yeah, I love that.
So here's the thing. I thought I was supposed to get caught. So I got really excited that I didn't waste any time. But then I had to start over, and it took me a while to get it.
This is how my story ended.
Yeah.
You really screwed up here. You gotta go back.
So, let's back up. So, and
yes. Like a seance going on or some
candles everywhere.
We'll just call him Satan for now.
Satan.
So, you're in the bathroom. What do you remember doing?
I remember my depression meter going down to 60.
Yeah, that was something else, because it's just like, whoa, does this actually play into the game? Like, is this a core mechanic of the game? Because like, I was wondering, I forgot it, but I'm just like, crap, he's really not doing well right now.
The biggest thing I've noticed so far about that meter is just, you feel just as depressed when you see the gauge.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like
you kill a man. When it goes, and they have like different names for what is the whatever. It's like neutral, like, anxious, depressed, and like overwrought.
It's like, never
in real life have I felt overwrought before. Only playing this game have I ever felt overwrought.
I thought that was a thing. I kill a man and Lucas gets sad. Really sad.
Really fast.
Did you guys drag the body? Obviously Kevin said he didn't.
I did.
Not at first, no.
Did you mop up?
Yes, mop up.
Yeah, at first.
And
did you pick up the knife for the urinal?
Yes.
Not at first.
I covered all my bases.
And on the way out, did you eat your food? I totally ate my food.
I tried to eat my food. I ate my food. I kept on eating it, and it wouldn't go away. So I'm like, screw that.
You eat a little bit. And then you just pay your bill. Did you pay your bill on your way out at least?
I paid my bill. I sat down at the bar stool. I was like saying hi to the lady behind the counter.
You're a psychopath.
And I'm like, hey, what's up? And she's like, you need anything? I'm like, not really.
No. I'm just overwhelmed.
Like, this is why I could never be a true criminal. I like didn't hide anything. And then I like walked out of the bathroom, and then I was like freaking out because I was like overwrought, of course, and I just tried to leave through the front door, and like the lady's just like, hey, wait, and I'm like, oh no, right? And the guy, and Lucas Kane narrates, he's like, oh, she must know something. Do I just run, make a run for it? And you have to choose whether you just like book it or do you turn back and see what she wants. So I turned back and see what she won. She's like, oh, I think you forgot to pay your bill, sir. And I'm like, what? What? So even when I thought I was in the clear.
Sorry for cutting you off, Kevin.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Just another thing, like when you're in the bathroom stall, I love how like after like you wash your hands, like you do a couple things to get rid of the thing, she kind of like justifies it, like your stress meter goes up. It's like, all right, good.
Good. Okay.
Like, I'm just like, how is nothing is okay about this. If I wash my hands, I don't think I'd still, I wouldn't be going.
I wash my hands of this crime.
Like, I thought that was kind of funny.
You can pull a Pontius Pilate.
Well, we've been talking about it, but the one thing about this game that was perfectly implemented with that was that meter, that stress meter.
Yeah.
Because it really, really works well with everything that's happening. I think more games should use something like that. Because it really brings to the story more.
It does. It makes you feel what the character feels, I think.
I can only think of one other game that does that.
What's that?
Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, God. Stop. Just stop. I don't have 20 hours in my life to waste right now.
So,
yeah.
So, Chapter 2, you're thinking that you're going to just continue with Lucas going on, except for not. You just take control of Carla and Tyler. Who are police officers, and they go in to investigate this murder.
Right. That is a duo if I've ever seen one. I mean, I'm just going to put it out of the way now. Tyler has swag, and that's the only time I'm going to use the word swag on this freaking podcast. That guy's walking animation.
I'm going to hold you up for that.
Okay, fine, Kevin. Like, when I'm just like, I want to play as Tyler. Walking around the restaurant, I'm like, who do they hire to do that?
I would love to have seen the mocap for that.
I'm looking at my notes now, and my second bullet point is Tyler's damn walking animation, apostrophe swag.
Tyler might be the best character in the history of video games.
Oh, he's up there.
No, I'm not serious. But... I think this game also might be secretly a little bit racist. Or either that, or they don't know anything about black people except for what they've seen in really stereotypical movies.
Well, exactly. It's France. They have like three of them up there.
I know. So, you gotta forget from the developer's perspective. They're a French studio.
David Cage!
David Cage is racist.
Damn you, Natalie Chodin.
David Cage maybe found two of the three black people.
I've seen black people.
I have seen black people. I met them in Beige.
They have five polygons. Alright, so...
It's great.
What did you find everything? Well, obviously, it kind of forces you to. But did you... Yeah. Like, when you talked to the creepy homeless man, who did you talk to him with?
Carla. I talked to him with Tyler, and he's just like, no, I don't care about you! And I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I went up to him with Carla, and Carla's like, hey. And he's like, oh, I care about you. And I'm like, oh, so, why don't you give me all the information? He's like, no. I'm like, okay, you're useless. And he walked away.
No, that's the thing, though. I could have gotten, I started to get information out of him, but I messed up. I was kind of pissed, because, like, he could have told you some things, but in the long run, it doesn't really matter. But the fact that you can get that kind of information and within the first 25 minutes of the gameplay, pretty awesome.
Who did you use more?
Tyler.
Let's get more Tyler throughout the game.
Tyler.
He is.
It's like. The one, oh my god, I want to fast forward a little bit, because the one time that you do have to use Carla.
Oh my god.
No. We'll talk about that later, trust me.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, so that freaking knife took me forever to find. Do you guys have a hard time finding it at all?
Yes, me too. Extremely difficult time
but
finding
it. I found it after a couple minutes.
I knew exactly where it was, because I did remember this moment when you played it the first time. Straight in track.
Oh, okay. So I guess we'll go to chapter 3 the day after.
Yeah.
By the way, we're doing these chapters. What I'm doing is I'm doing it in order of this walkthrough I found. Mm-hmm. So we might have, obviously we might have played different parts of the game at different times. Right. So the day after, you wake up as Lucas.
Also, worth noting, we only played through half the game.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. This is part one of Indigo Prophecy.
Yes, only 20 minutes in, and we'll just let them know now.
That's okay.
20 chapters.
Footnote.
Okay.
So, also I wanted to note that I love how the game makes you root for both sides going on in the beginning. That's, yeah. Like, you really don't know who you want to root for.
I still don't know who I want to root for.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. And it really keeps consistent until a certain part, but we'll talk about that later. So it's the day after. You're waking up in your bed. You think it's a dream, but it's not really. So you realize that he really killed a man. Your bed is all messed up. And you do this. So you get up. So did you... All right, so did you guys take your meds?
Okay, all right, listen. I'm just gonna jump right in here.
Okay, go right ahead.
So the first time I tried this little session was probably the most hilarious thing
yes.
that anybody's ever done.
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
So like, I didn't take the medicine right away. Like I also like it was I'm looking at my notes and I wish I had written more down, but I was just so enthralled in what I was doing. Like, alright, one of the times I failed was because, you know, I was going around in his apartment, I didn't take the medicine, I just went straight out of the room, I went straight to the bar and got a drink, right?
Oh my god.
Okay? And then I come back into the room, like, get clothes and stuff, and then, like, I just look at the medicine, right? And when you pick up the medicine, he says to himself, oh, I can't take this with alcohol, right? But when you're picking up the medicine, he says that, and then he just takes it automatically. So I am already drinking alcohol from the bar. And so that was attempt number one. And I'm just gonna leave it at that. Anybody else?
And that
first attempt?
And that was the end of my journey.
I took the medicine because it made my, it made Lucas a little bit happier. I left the gin alone. I found the gin. I decided not to take it. I found his clothes. I just did some random stuff, you know, like washing his clothes, cleaning up the bed, getting dressed out of his, like, so he's not wearing his underwear around the house.
Did you play guitar?
It wouldn't.
No. That's not till later.
I went straight.
No, I sure went straight to the guitar in my underwear. She said, yeah. Oh, I can't leave because I need clothes. I'm like, damn it. So I got clothes. And he's like, I'm not in the mood.
Well, what I did is. When I played the game, anytime you're in your underwear, because you happen to be in your underwear as characters a lot, I stayed in my underwear as much as I possibly can. I held out for as long as I could.
That's great.
We need more underwear, Tyler, scenes.
So, the cop is knocking on your door, I think, at this point?
Yeah, yes. Cop knocks on your door.
So you have the premonition.
No,
wait, I'm sorry. I have one little side note before that.
Uh-huh.
In the fridge, I opened the fridge because it's like a little snowflake. I'm like, oh, wait, I guess Santa Claus is in the fridge. there's only milk in the freaking fridge.
Yes, yes.
And you know my first
thought, I drink that milk.
Why?
I like the little details they put in. Also, if you can use the computer. If you use the computer in his room, there's a news article if you open the web browser, and they put in like a little like semi Easter egg where it's like it's in a news article on like the effects of violent video games to be ironic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just chuckled to myself and I just wrote it down. So
yeah,
that was that.
I love the little subtle things that this game does. Sam, you were saying something.
Like when I saw just the milk, I got really angry because it made me think of Silent Hill 4. You open the fridge, and all he has is chocolate milk.
Yes.
What was he? Is that what these characters survive on? Right. Just one beverage.
Listen.
And maybe like a scattered orange juice in the back that's like empty.
Maybe his ex girlfriend, I guess, took all the rest of the drinks with him.
Yeah, all those boxes, man. That was a lot of stuff for us, wasn't it?
It was just all drinks.
It was all perishable goods.
So, did anybody listen to Tiffany's voicemail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that? Nothing?
No.
It's a little bit more backstory to Lucas, I guess. So we'll jump into chapter 4, which is you go talk to your bro at the cemetery.
Who's a priest?
Him.
Your brother.
My favorite character, Marcus Kane.
Hello, brother that I haven't seen in many years. As a priest and your brother, I would like to help you with your problems by meeting you at a cemetery.
But not only a cemetery, the graves of their parents, correct?
Yes.
They went to meet at their parents' graves.
Now, I have this is my third bullet point. The voice actor for Lucas's brother, is he gay?
Marcus.
Oh, listen, I think that I have this whole theory about how Marcus is like a priest and he's closeted and that's why he became a priest. But let's save that for later.
Oh, well, what, okay.
I had a similar theory.
Except I had a similar experience.
So, did you try to convince him or did you break it off? You tell him all about how you killed the man, right?
Yeah, I remember being like straightforward, just like I was in like a trance and I killed a guy and he's like, what?
The same thing. He's
yeah.
Like, Marcus, I killed a man.
Did you take his cross?
I did.
Yeah.
Got the extra life?
I have written down in my notes, cross equals extra life. Like, really, yeah?
Yeah.
Tarot cards on the ground give you plus 20 whatever to buy stuff, so I guess that's
fine. Yeah, this game gets a little bit of a interesting sometimes.
A little token economy.
Oh man.
Token economy.
So then you start walking away from brother, whatever, you had your nice little talk, and you get this another premonition, and you see a kid fall into the ice, and he's dying.
Yeah.
So you go save him.
Wait! There's a cop. The cop from the diner.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was walking by, like on patrol or something, and Lucas is just like, "Should I go save this kid who's about to drown, or should I run away from the cop, who's gonna arrest me if he sees me?"
Oh yeah, true. Well, did you get
the choice?
All right. So what did we all do?
I saved him.
Save the boy.
Yeah, I'm a sucker. I have to be the good guy at least in the initial playthrough. Like after.
Did we all save the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. How can you let little kid?
L1 R1 action.
And what happens is, he
cop sees you. He recognizes you. Definitely does. But the cop lets you go.
Yeah, because he sees you save a kid's life.
So you know, I guess it's like even states like later in a later chapter, the first half of the game. You know, the guy saved the kid. You know, I thought an eye for an eye. You know, like he did out.
Yeah, like they're even now.
Yeah. So you know, which hell in the real world would. Do you think that probably wouldn't fly, but it definitely like raised the question like, well, I guess since he saved the life of a child who has yet to live their life as opposed to an adult who has lived most of their life, you know?
Yeah, but then people would say that Lucas Kane is like, has a god complex where just saves people and then also kills them.
This is a Law and Order episode.
Oh my god. I've never watched Law and Order though. I've never watched any of these shows.
Oh god.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Can we just vow to have a Mariska Hargitay reference in every episode of the podcast? Can we just?
We
have to say her name.
Fit that in.
We'll find a way to put her in. We've decided. All right, so
and we can't put in Don Cheadle.
No.
So sad.
So, chapter 5. You're doing some police work. You go back to Carla and Tyler. I don't know about you, but every single time I get control of Carla, I'm not as excited about life.
Yep. Unfortunately, that's how it is.
Except for that one time.
One special mission with Carla.
Yeah, where her neighbor comes over. Right?
Yeah. A lot of the time, it lets you, when you control Carla, it lets you switch between Carla or Tyler, though.
Yeah, it does. So you do things with Carla, you get introduced to a lot of the police guys, that really weird guy that wants to get his debt paid, Tyler to pay his debt to him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right, the
basketball guy.
So, yeah, you do.
Tyler stuff is fun.
Carla gets in.
$200.
So she goes in, and whatever. She's wondering where the hell Tyler is. So Tyler wakes up in his apartment next to his woman. Now, first of all, the music.
Oh, yeah. He has a freaking Motown collection. If they could make him any more stereotypically black, it'd be pushing racist boundaries.
Listen.
It is pretty bad.
Like, listen, this music, and for the listeners, you will have heard this music. We're going to use that as our opener.
Yeah, this black person, white person, cop pair, it's like worse than Rush Hour.
Oh, yeah.
Her isn't necessarily white. Her name's Carla Valenti or something.
Yeah,
like that.
She's Latino.
Yeah, I think she's Latina. Latina.
Latina.
She's secretly a man.
She's secretly a Hispanic man.
If she was real, she'd be hot.
Carlo.
But anyway.
All those polygons.
So, you do your thing. Did you bang your wife? Your girlfriend, rather.
Yes.
I gave it to her. What you have to do is choose the option tender and convincing.
Damn it, I didn't.
Yeah, I don't think I did that.
The other one was like just kiss her. I'm just like, why would I just kiss her right now? That's stupid. Like we just started talking. Like we're obviously having like troubles. So I did like tender, whatever. And then the other one, Bear was even paying attention. And all of a sudden, I'm. Yep.
Yep.
Doing the business?
Yes, and...
I just love the...
That's an interactive part of the game.
I love that that's an interactive part of the game.
I honestly didn't do that, but I just kissed her and I started my day, put on some coffee.
Really? But she's like, Tanya, you're gonna go out there and die, I'm sick of worrying about
it. I love how it actually makes you feel bad to leave her.
How does that shit do?
Oh.
So, you get to the police station, right? And for me and Kevin, we had this. Carla's a little bit bitchy because we took too long because we were banging our girlfriend.
Right. Okay.
Oh God.
Okay. So did any of you check Tyler's email and notice anything?
The Viagra.
The penis. Yeah.
Want a bigger D. Want a bigger D. com.
Yeah. I know. I wrote that down. No, I did it, but I definitely remember that.
Yeah, I just thought that was hilarious.
Sorry, there was something.
Why would he need that?
There was something I wanted to mention beforehand. When Carla gets first day at the station and she's talking to the receptionist guy,
mm-hmm.
What, you know how it goes into like that kind of thing where it's like it shows the guy and then it shows like you moving around on the right hand side with the guys like in the panel talking to you.
Yeah.
What I thought was really interesting, two things. Was when I was moving around in the right panel, the character was following me on the left-hand side. And I noticed that. I'm like, is he really going to follow me? I walked all the way to the left and to the right. And I'm like, that's really awesome, like how they put that kind of detail into it.
Oh, yeah.
Most time, I'm just like, oh, whatever. He's talking to me. Great. It's an initiative. Like, it's a scripted scene. But it's more organic feeling to me when he's actually following my character. And another thing after that, you know how you walk behind him and you have to walk up the stairs on the left or the right? There's actually an animation for walking up the stairs. You're not just going up the stairs.
Like, yeah. You're not just putting your feet on like an invisible plane, like an inclined plane.
Yeah, I thought that was really awesome too, because I'm like, wow, God. It took a fucking longer, but you know.
Little things.
Little things.
It wasn't like in Amy, like you had to climb a ladder and sit there for like 3 hours.
With David Cage, the games that Quantic Dream and mainly David Cage does, he does little things that are amazing, and then he does little things that'll just piss you off.
Yeah.
Some not so little things. Yeah, some not so little things. And there's a huge sequence in this game, which is one of those not so little things that we'll talk about later. But, so, anyway, back on track.
Where were we?
We were...
Tyler goes to work.
Tyler and Carla are at work. Anybody have anything else? Have anything to say about this? I really don't have much written on here.
No, that's it.
There's a mini basketball hoop on the wall.
Oh, okay. You learn about Kirsten, the Kirsten case. Somebody emails you, Carla, Kirsten.
Yes, that's the first hint of the Kirsten case. Another thing I wanted to say, when I first played Heavy Rain, do you remember Agent Norman Jade?
Yes.
And how you walk through that police station. I seriously got the same kind of vibe when I walked through, when I walked through the police station in Indigo Prophecy as I did when I played Heavy Rain. Obviously mm-hmm. because it's made by the same company, but like it's just nice to have that like, oh wow, like, they recycled the same ideas, but it didn't entirely feel like the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They got that feeling well, done well. So,
yeah.
Anybody have anything else to say about that police chapter? Nothing?
What was I going to say? I don't think there's any, no, I think that's the next one anyway, whatever.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so the next chapter, this is where it starts to get weird. So, Lucas, you're back to Lucas, and you're at work.
Right.
Lucas decides to just, you know, best thing is to just go do about his regular days, go to work. So, yeah.
Don't you start in the bathroom?
You start in the bathroom vomiting.
Yes.
And he's vomiting, whatever, right. You leave. And then you just go back to your office, and you meet Warren, who I think is an absolute douche. I don't like him.
Why?
Warren, he's not a douche. He's just a guy. He's not as harmful as he's just there.
You ever see Office Space?
Yes.
Yeah.
That guy Lumberg, you know the guy.
Lumberg.
Like everyone. Yeah. If you could just.
Yeah.
Blank. That'd be great.
Yeah. If you, I'm just gonna have to ask you to come in on Sunday.
I swear, I watched the movie twice. I never seen it, and then I saw it twice the same day.
So great. All right.
Oh.
Yeah, and then like Lucas goes to work, and he gets like a premonition of like.
Carlock, right? Coming in the
the coffee mug.
Right, he's gonna catch the coffee.
Yeah, and he does these little premonition things. He catch and he tells him not to worry about the coffee, or he tells him to not spill. I don't remember exactly what happens in the scene.
It's like the coffee, and then he spills the coffee.
Yeah.
And heads up with him. He's just like, what? All
right. So, okay, this is where things get weird. He starts to see little green bugs crawling around.
Yeah.
So, I don't...
Oh, wait. I'm sorry, again. Did you... when you... In his office, did you have a phone call with Tiffany?
Oh, yeah.
All right. That conversation made me laugh so hard. And I'm like, I wrote down, quotable, like, Tiffany, she's like, how you doing, Lucas? And I think this is the part where he starts bugging out, and he says, I gotta let you go, I'm doing a thing here, and he just hangs.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Also, there's like a picture, there's a picture of, like, Tiffany and him in his jar, and I remember looking at it, and it just makes him sad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool, picture of the chick and Lucas, this is gonna be great. Oh, I guess it just makes you sad.
Yeah.
Hit him from, like, stress to, like, anxious, or, like, the other way around, probably, but you made him sad.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah, but you'd think that green bugs would make him a little bit more upset.
Yeah. Well, so about these green bugs. So eventually he goes to the bath. He goes back to the bathroom, doesn't he? To wash his face.
Oh no! Remember whatchamacallit? His buddy. There's a call to fix one of the computers.
Oh yeah. So he had a call to fix one of the computers in the kiosk, in a cubicle rather. So you go to the cubicle, I like the mini map that it gives you with the little dots.
Gave me a solid bar.
So,
yeah.
So you get to the cubicle, and you see the little green bugs. And
tech bugs.
And
anybody
wanna continue?
Quick time event. That is the central, like, thing for, like, how you get through each action sequence. And that was really hard, actually.
Yeah, I feel like that was, like, they should have included smaller ones, like, earlier on, because they just kind of, it was, like, one of the first ones, and it was enormous, and you have all these, like, really complicated, like, directional, like, sequences.
Yeah.
And I screwed up, like, four separate times.
I know. I barely got to it the first time, but, like, that's the thing, like, as all this is going on, I want to, like, look, like, behind, I want to look at what's going on in the screen, like, what he's doing.
Yeah, that's the one big problem.
Like, yeah, it's, they're doing, like, really awesome choreographed, like, fights with these enormous bugs or whatever, and I'm staring at colored directional pads
yeah.
to match them with my sticks.
Just try it's to like, get by.
He's parkouring around the office and around these bugs.
I know, I'm like,
on the ceiling.
I guess we should better explain what's happening in this scene. Yeah. So he sees these green bugs, and like eventually these bigger ones that try to kill him. So he
bigger than him.
Yeah, they're huge bugs. They're like fairly human sized. So he's running from them. He does this weird thing where he jumps into the air, grabs part of the ceiling, and then swings over them. Yeah. Like he,
I know.
Oh. He like slides under.
Yeah.
He like jumps on one and jumps like. Parkours off of one.
Listen, he's an assassin / Matrix guy, and he can do all of these things completely unexplained thus far.
Good time.
Yeah. So he does this, and obviously you're playing and doing this color coordinated analog thing, and a lot of it. What I do is I go back and rewatch the scene because there's an option to rewatch it without the little things happening. But I really think that that's one of the things that could have been done better. Rather than distracting you from the scene, they could have made it more interactive without distracting you from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But eventually, he gets past the bugs, he like beats one with like a fire extinguisher, and he gets to this door with a keypad, and then your little color interaction like stick thing. You just start spazzing out. And
yeah, you're Simon Says.
Yeah, it's basically two, like, Simon Says, like, in the middle of the screen, and it just starts spazzing out. You can't follow it, because you're supposed to.
Yeah, that last one, I was really stressed out. Yeah, I was like, what the?
So, the bugs, like, get to him, and he's just like, ah! And then, it just cuts to Lucas spazzing in the corner, and all of his coworkers are like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you okay, Lucas? Should you take a break? Want to go home? And he's just like,
I hate Warren. I don't know why, but I can't stand him.
Yeah. He has that vibe, but he's I'm sure he's not the bad. Not bad.
He's not the bad.
He's not the bad. No, so, yeah, and then, what happens? He just, like, leaves because Lucas bugs.
Okay. So he leaves. He ends up leaving. Warren says to him, like, "Oh, you should leave. You're not okay," or something like that. Douche.
Oh, so Warren can get all my hours.
So that's when he get all of his money, and we get to chapter 7, which is you're back in control of Carla, and you're at the mortuary. And I didn't really have much written down about this part. You pretty much learn more about the case. You learn about the knife wounds, how they're very, very precise.
Yeah.
Yeah, like three separate, hits to the arteries on like the back of the heart. And a million chance to happen. So it's definitely like paranormal or something.
And it's the skin mention of the Kirsten case. He said he's only seen it once before, and it was on the Kirsten case. But you really don't learn much more than that about the Kirsten case at that time.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it for that one.
No, just some dialogue options.
Yeah, nothing really spectacular. You're kind of not too interesting.
Yeah. Either. So then you take control of Tyler. I really don't have much written for this, too. I just want to know... You're doing the show recognition program with the waitress at the thing.
Oh god!
So, the cool thing that the game does, it makes you actually try to from your memory create the composite of his face, and it works like a little character creator thing, and you have to try to make it look like him, look like Lucas.
I love how you can either make it look like him or try to, or just look like whatever you want, because it also like it helps or hinders. Because this game, like, you're the cops and you're the fugitive, and you could, like, either help him by sucking or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, like, half right with mine.
Yeah, mine was 50 to 75%.
I got, like, a 30, 40%. I was...
Yeah, it was...
Listen.
I thought I remember.
I thought...
Like, I just knew he had a widow.
Yeah, I had the widow's peak. Yeah. And I thought I was dead on. I'm like, yeah, this is exactly what it is. And I got 0 to 25% not similar.
Oh my god.
So, yeah, that's all I have to say about that part. Anything else?
Oh, no. I have another thing. He's, when Tyler was explaining to the waitress with the diner, he's just like, it's just kind of like a video game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, did he break the floor there?
Yeah, he's like, yeah,
you did that a couple times.
He's like, you play video games, Mrs. Whatever your name is? And she's just like, no.
And then when she leaves, he's like, now go play some video games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay.
So chapter 9.
Yeah, a little break.
Tiffany comes to get her things.
Now, okay, just gonna get this out of the way. I recently watched 50/50, that movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Gordon.
Lucas looks exactly like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, by the way.
Yeah, that and his girlfriend looks like his freaking girlfriend.
Yes, oh my god.
So I'm just like, why is this happening to me? I don't understand what's going on.
I know what you're talking about, yes.
It's so odd, but that was like, okay, I guess this really is destiny.
Yeah, so... Alright, so in the, alright, this is where you get to play your guitar, by the way. Did you play your guitar?
Played awful.
Yep,
song.
So did I.
Oh my god, I only played one. I'm like,
also, alright, what was your favorite one?
I liked blues.
I loved the Bossa Nova one.
Bossa Nova was great.
And then there was also the
punching bag. Oh, did you guys do the punching bag? Cause I feel like that's really important to the plot. It's,
Yeah. The punching bag was weird.
Punches it off the chain.
All of a sudden he's the man.
Superman punches it, no, like, kicks it, I think. He just
first is like super fast punches right there.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't expect Lucas Kane to be the one who had a punching bag in his house.
He's slowly becoming Neo.
Yes.
He worked
off his
computers.
Oh my god, it's the Matrix.
How are we drawing these parallels now? We didn't even think about
so, he is there, and I pretty, me personally, I just told her, I picked up her stuff and told her to get out. But,
yeah, dude, I went in for the kids. I tried.
Yeah, I went in and she's like,
apparently
no.
You can bang her in this scene.
Really?
No.
Yeah, apparently, because I read online, and if there's a choice you can make where she asks you to play your guitar for her, so you just for old time's sake, and apparently you play your guitar, you go through that thing again, you play one of the songs, and that leads to you going to that room with her and totally banging her.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
crap, I didn't, so that whole relationship is changed dramatically.
Yeah, that's like a huge scene that you can just totally
miss.
You don't even,
I felt a douche when I realized you can.
I know, cause it's just like,
I just feel like it's just like,
no, cause I didn't go in because I kinda like made, she left on like good terms. I thought I was doing pretty well for doing that.
I was pretty awkward about it. I'm just like, come on, babe. And she's like, no, thanks.
Sad. Depressed.
That leaves. And he's just like, yeah. Now. One thing about that system, you're never truly happy.
No.
Cause like with Starbucks,
you're neutral.
You're always neutral. I'm like, why can't they crack a smile every once in a fucking while?
Never.
Tyler.
Alright, Tyler, fine.
So, anybody have anything else to write about this one?
Tyler is from the ghetto.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up my feelings towards the ghetto.
Alright, so chapter 10. Fuck this chapter.
Great.
Oh, chapter 10.
Wait, that's all I have to say. That's literally all I have written about chapter 10.
Was this the scene where Joe's Marcus and Lucas as children in the army base, like, growing
up. Basically, what happens is it gives a flashback to the past where Lucas and Marcus were living on an army base.
Yeah.
So I guess their father was in the army.
Yeah, whatever. One of their parents.
They were in, like, their little barracks or whatever. And then I guess Lucas is just, like, a loner kid. And Marcus, who looks like a geek, I swear.
Yeah.
Okay. He was like, yeah, there's like two or three other kids. And they're just like, oh, we're gonna play a game. And then Marcus is like, come on, Lucas, let's play. And Lucas is like, nah, I really don't want to play. And then they're like, come on, loser. And like, it's just like, oh, alright. So they go to play hide and seek in this like, hidden thing where like, they have to cross like two gates and they start
to cut you off.
Like,
but can we talk about his fat douchebag friend? I want to kill that kid.
Yes.
Yeah, can we talk about another point? Okay, did anybody watch Code Lyoko?
No.
I'm
not.
Yeah.
Okay, Kevin.
Yeah.
Marcus's child voice actor, please tell me you recognize that voice. thing about it.
But you know, both the show and this game are French.
That's true, I guess.
Dude, I looked up the voice actor for the child, and her name was Sharon Mann. So I'm like, I go on IMDb, Sharon Mann. She voiced Jeremy in Kovioko. I'm like, I freaking knew it. I'm like, I can't. I had to look this up. I'm like, they sound so familiar. Why?
You astounded me. I was watching that just a couple weeks ago.
Dude, it is such a
disagreement.
Good show.
Anyway. Okay.
They back to little army base. They sneak into like a Harrier kind of thing.
Okay, so wait, sorry to cut you off. How many times did it take for you to actually get over and get in the freaking fence?
What? No, I messed up once.
No, my god.
Dude, 4 or 5 times.
I didn't know how. I actually did it quite easily. I don't know how, because I sped through it. I don't know how I did it, but I did. And I was like, wow, that was bad.
Remember how talking about sometimes David Cage does great little things, and then he screws up sometimes? This was one of those times where he screws up.
So Lucas gets a... Right, the other kids, they're like, all right, screw you, Lucas. I'm thinking it's an abandoned hangar. They go, and then Lucas is just like, okay, bye. Premonition. Bam. Hangar catches fire and explodes. Oh. All right. And then Lucas gets up. He's like, well, I guess I gotta go save them. So then just starts running. You gotta climb over a fence. Sneaking part. You have to sneak past the guards into this hangar. And it's
terrible.
It's terrible.
How did you do, Kevin?
You sneak through a hole in the fence. You have to climb the fence.
I don't want to talk about it. It was so frustrating. I feel like I actually stopped the game and just played it the next day. Just because
really?
I couldn't anymore. Yeah.
I think that's exactly what we did when Sam played.
That was so annoying,
yeah,
that part.
Just, like, oh my god. Yeah. It was so annoying. But like, oh god, why? But like, it wasn't as bad as I remembered. Cause like, that took us all as time to do that.
So there's these trucks that like move in and out, and you have to like go behind them, so like obstructed with like these people. But you get that like soft on radar like mini map thing going on, so that kind of helps. And once you finally get through, you sneak into the hangar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Instantly, you have Marcus is there. He's like, "Hey, Lucas, what are you doing here?" And then Lucas is like, "You have to leave. This place is gonna explode,
brother."
And Marcus is like, "You're just weird." And then you're like, "No, really." He's like, "Okay, what about the others?" He's like, "I'll go get them." So they're playing hide and seek of all games.
Oh my god.
You have to go and find them. Bam, timer, before the hangar explodes.
Extremely fast timer. Through, like, this hangar that's incredibly difficult to navigate through, but on top of that, you have these controls with the camera angles.
And
just...
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, remember how we keep saying, remember those little, well, we said those things that can deceive us with this kind of game?
Yeah.
I swear, alright. I didn't save all the cameras, okay? I'll admit it.
No,
I solely played a camera.
I see.
I didn't save any of them, I just left.
What?
I managed to save him because I didn't even know. I remembered where one was, and I found the fat kid by accident. Now, not only do you have a timer and you have to find these kids like in opposite sides of the hangar, one of them, the fat douchebag,
you
have to have like a whole dialogue with him and convince him to leave. I got lucky. I'm like, "Your mom said to go," and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna kill you if you tell my mom." And
when it flashes forward,
cool, done. And I just
when it flashes forward. And you're talking to Marcus back that thing. Marcus actually told, he's like, "You know, that time really wasn't your fault that happened. You know you tried." I'm like, "No, I didn't. I just walked the hell out." But anyway.
I saved them all.
But, anyway. So, chapter. That's that sparring boxing match that you have. It's a quick chapter, so we'll run through it. Just say who you chose. I actually chose Carlos.
I
switched between both, and I made them both out for me.
Yeah,
And then I made them drink the water. They drank from the same.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. And then
they did like different workouts. I remember.
They did. They were annoying because as they started working out more, it would just be harder to do with LNO, whatever. It's like,
so we'll just skip the chat now. Chapter 13. She decides to go into the police archives to research that Kirsten case.
Yeah. Oh.
And so that part, during that part, you have to so let me preface this by saying she's claustrophobic. And this police archive is dimly lit, and you're in small spaces. So she's like, yeah, I can do this.
Battle her enemy.
So you go through this. You have to do a breathing mini game while looking for this and doing a puzzle.
While walking.
Now, I'm not gonna lie. I was disoriented when I first got there. Truth be told, I was disoriented. What's going on? Fine, actually, that's claustrophobic. But once I got, I have to tap L1, R1 to keep it to one side or whatever. I didn't get it for the first 5 minutes, and it infuriated me so badly.
I actually got there to it.
I did it after the ninth try.
Really?
It was that bad. It was because I actually ran out of she had to back out because she was breathe or whatever, only once because I messed up because I just wasn't paying attention to the thing. But you could see the shelves behind the shelves kind of when you're walking around.
Yeah.
So I was able to I have to swim in this one and it's over here. Because I remember when the first time I played it, I was like, what am I doing? What is this? It was dark, but I was actually...
You were also Sean Connery the first time you played this.
Cool.
I didn't know. Apparently, if you do Tyler's part first, you can actually have Tyler come and do it with ease. Wow. Yeah. That's just... I didn't know that either.
I did not even guess that would be possible.
So, that happens. You get more information on the Kirsten case. And that just... It's really... The whole Kirsten case thing is kind of vaguely related, but it's not really important.
Side note, but my Carla was not doing as well emotionally as my Tyler was, so I guess it's better that I had my Carla do it because she got depressed a little bit. When she actually finally found the file, she got a little bit happier.
So,
yeah.
And it's just the most, what kind of fucking police station has this archaic way to move?
I don't know what French police archives are like, but archives in America don't normally have, wheels that's move shelves with manual doors the other shelves just invest in a larger facility.
Really, it's like the basement of some guy's house.
It's a freaking it's a legend of a dungeon.
But if you look at the rest of the building, it looks like just a regular police building.
Yeah, and not only that, you have to turn on the power too. You have to change shelves and then turn on the power, and then go back the opposite way, and then do the same thing on the other side, and you can get...
Okay, I kind of want to move this on, so we'll go to the next chapter. Which you're in a bookstore with Tyler. Also a really annoying part. Screw this chapter.
That part wasn't even that bad, because it was three books. Because this time I played it, I remember we were only looking at one book, and we got it by chance, because we just took a random book. But... the books that you're supposed to look at for reference.
Eventually,
easy.
Yeah, eventually, that's what I have to do. It's this section in the white part. I'm like, okay,
third floor.
Not gonna lie, this part I just totally used the walkthrough because I had no interest in this book.
it was funny dialogue with the bookkeeper.
Oh god.
Towards love, accent. I'm like, you freaking bitch.
Yeah, no, it's like. Oh, I love no one talking about. Come in next time. It's like, oh, are you sure? And then when you get a book for him, he's like, all right,
yeah.
You
what?
What is he?
3 minutes.
Did you ask him about it? I asked him about it. I'm just like, hey, didn't you have an accent before? And he's just like, oh, customers love that.
Yeah. But what's your real name? Like Link Smith or some shit?
Really?
It was like, really? You look like it looks like stereotypical freaking.
Yeah, didn't he say I'm from Harlem, man, or something like that?
I'm from New York.
Yeah.
I'm
here.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm leaving now. But the book, the whole book thing was pointless anyway because you look at the bookmark, and the piece of paper from the bookmark from the bank falls out. Yeah. That's the real clue.
Yeah. So what's the whole point of this freaking scene?
Nope, a reason for you to find the bookmark.
I found the bookmark.
Really? I didn't. I
have to look for the book. I'm just like, oh, bookmark, cool. Oh, and I have to find the book. Really sweet.
Now, wait. I feel like we're skipping over, we're skipping over a huge thing. Since Carla and Tyler, way back in the beginning of the game, they went to the restaurant to investigate the murder. By this point in the game, have they really started to piece together if Luke is king?
No.
Right? Not yet, because they're going to get the bookmark that fell out of the book at the bookstore is what leads them to...
Match up the bank. Whatever.
So, Agatha. Right. So...
This was an interesting scene. I like this one a lot.
Yeah.
So you go, you're back to Lucas, and you're visiting, oh yeah, by the way, Marcus was the one told to visit Agatha, correct?
Yes. I don't believe in this stuff, but here you go, here's a number from someone.
So you visit this weird old lady's house, this bird lady, and, this blind bird lady, and you wheel her around her house in her wheelchair, and you do some weird, creepy things. She's creepy as hell.
You feed her, one thing I like, the lighting in Pet Crow Room, like her pet location, the lighting that was coming in through the windows, that struck me as kind of odd, because didn't you go to sleep at nighttime?
I don't think so.
I think it might have been like night-ish.
Well, yeah, like even, like sun going down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the lighting, I guess this lamppost was directly in front of the window or whatever, because it was shining down like it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was kind of, it felt kind of ominous though. Yeah. It kind of feeled like foggy in there a little bit, with a film grain.
So, basically, she tells you about the marks on your hands that you kind of didn't mention as much, but when you were in the bathroom stall, entranced, you actually carved a two-headed snake into your forearms.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
see that. But she tells you about that snake. And what else?
Well, she makes you go get all these things like candles and crap. She's like, I can tell you what's going on or whatever. And it's like, oh sweet. What do I do? She's like, all right, go get some candles. You can catch in down the road and get some like close all the curtains and look for matches and all this crap. Wheel me in my bedroom. Wheel me out. Wheel me over here.
And that's a funny thing. Like, after a while, I was just kind of dicking around in the house. And I heard her from the other room. She told my ass to hurry up.
Yeah, she yelled at me. When I was trying to turn off the light at me, and I was had my turtle beaches on at the moment, and she totally scared the crap out of me. It was the biggest jump scare of my life.
Nice.
Agatha's just creepy. So you close all the curtains, and she's just like, all right, let me try to help you. So she touches your forearm. She's like, wow, these are the torn-headed snake things. And you're like, what does that mean? And she's like, well, it's bad things. I'm going to help you try to remember what happened. So she, like, puts you into this hypnotic state where you're trying to, like, access the portion of the memories that you had up to, like, the killing of that random guy, which I don't know if we mentioned this or not, but Lucas, like, has no memory of, like, killing the guy, well, like, of before killing the guy. So she's trying to help him remember. So Lucas, like, touches his forearms and then, like, gives him this, like, weird dream sequence.
Yeah,
you're like,
the ancient on the island again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
no,
yeah.
I didn't make a joke.
So, it gives you, it's like another action sequence, but without the action again. It's like, it gives you the Simon Says thing again, but it's really slow. And it's just like, recounts what happens when, like, before Lucas, like, killed the guy. So he's like, she's like, what do you see? He's like, I see the diner. She's like, walk in. He walks in. And like, he sees himself. And he's like, memory, this foggy memory scene. And he's sitting down, you know, doing nothing. And, the hooded guy that comes in later.
Yes.
So,
yeah, you see visions of him in the beginning when you first kill the guy. He comes in and then he just like says this thing to you. He just does like incantations like on you.
Yeah.
And, he has, like, it's weird because he ordered a coffee, but the waitress did not see him. He only saw, she only saw Lucas, and she saw it as Luke's ordering the coffee.
Yeah, Lucas like claimed that he doesn't even like coffee when he was at the table.
So that was weird. I thought it was a weird thing. So that's pretty much what she tells you, that this is Oracle Man, and she says, "I'll come back later." Right? Come back another day and we'll continue with this. And she talks about how pulled into it he is, and it's some weird crap. So we're getting really paranormal at this point, and kind of weird. So the next scene, you're back with Carla, and you're doing shooting practice. You arrived at this gun range to talk about officer in charge of the Kirsten case. And you're basically doing this shooting practice minigame. I don't really want to get into that minigame just right now because...
Yeah, well, let's just
generic.
Be thankful I'm doing the first-person shooters.
Generic first-person shooter. And, like, I guess the better you do at it, the more, like, chances you have to talk with the old
Well, the problem is you get depressed when you do bad. And he's like, yeah, you're going to need to... You're gonna need to be in here a lot more if you're gonna, do work in the field.
Well, I actually did very well, and he's like, "Yeah, wow, you have a pretty good shot." Rah, rah, rah.
Me too.
Really?
I couldn't do it.
I did excellent, and I kept on talking.
I guess I just suck.
And then it was like, "Oh, I have to do it again." I'm like, "Damn it, I don't want to do it again."
I know, I did it
excellent.
Makes you do it like four times.
It lasted forever because I guess I did so well. That's a because every time you shoot something, it like adds more time. A little bit, so it took forever.
So, do you remember exactly what more you learned about the Kirsten case?
Oh, he just says about
the guy going crazy.
Yeah, he says more related cases. There's like, there was more related cases like it. Some guy in a laundromat, some other stuff where, just the three
where
stabs.
People just, the three artery slices
and
the thing,
and the
no memory of,
The killers would be there, but they'd have no memory of doing it and be like, just sit there and not do anything or try to run or anything. She's like, oh, it's weird.
Okay, so that scene ends. You learn about a little bit more about the Kirsten case and related cases. So, chapter 17, you finally have that basketball game between Tyler and his coworker.
Tyler.
And...
Oh, yeah.
First of all, Tyler is so black. But he's so black.
No,
I literally have written here the best chapter.
And his coworker he owes $200 to this guy, this white guy. So he's like, oh, I'll play b-ball with you for like if the winner
double or nothing.
He's like, I'll double the money and you get all the money. Oh, no, he owed him $100 and then double, he'd pay $200. If he wins, then he doesn't pay anything. So he's like, you're on. So they get in their, basketball get up, go outside the snowy basketball court.
Three, four game.
And you basically have to do that color thing again. And I don't know about you guys, but I won big.
Yeah, I won too.
Yeah.
I actually messed up once just to see the guy.
Yeah.
And
the only thing I have written here is in quotes, you D up pretty good for white guy. Because...
Tyler's just like, I used to do a little ball in college. And you're like, oh.
So.
And then white guy's just like angry.
Yeah. So next chapter, you're back to Lucas again, and you're at home.
Oh, is this the one where the apartment attacks
you? Yes. So you're at home, you're doing your thing. And then Satan... You get a call on the phone, you pick it up, and it's Satan, and he's talking to you a little bit. He says some incantations again. So you put the phone down, and then your apartment starts trying to kill you by just severe wind just like starts gusting at you, and all of your crap in your apartment starts flying at your face, and you're doing this
every single glass, every single box, every single thumbtack,
the TV, the table, the couch, the freaking cabinets off the wall,
the walls themselves.
The entity of the apartment suddenly becomes 302.
Yeah.
They're one at a time, though. So it's just like, and you have to dodge each and every single one. So...
And I had to do the whole thing over again.
Yeah, I messed up, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty interesting sequence. I liked it. And then... So, at the end of it, you end up hanging on your balcony, like, dying. And who comes to the rescue?
Marcus!
Marcus comes, busts open your door, super priest style, and...
No, you play as Marcus for a brief
moment. Oh, yeah, for a brief moment, you play as
Marcus.
I was so excited. I'm like, I am Marcus.
Bust down the door, super priest style, and saves you. And that was pretty much the end of that.
Yeah, he comes and he's like, oh my goodness, Marcus. Oh, God.
So, for the next chapter, I only have one thing written, and I wrote... Incredible Flaming Tommy and his tarot cards.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
Basically, Carla, first of all, Carla's naked in the shower. Then she puts on some clothes, goes, and then I tried to enter the door naked. I did.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, it was Tommy and he turned gay. Flamboyantly gay. Whatever. He comes in, he's like, hey, Carla, and she's just like, hey, Tommy. And she's like, got some tarot cards, and she's just like, cool, I'm gonna get some drinks. You gotta find the wine glasses, whatever. Cool. Pour some drinks.
How hard it was to find the, I swear, it took me 10 minutes to find the wine glasses.
That's because they were in, like, an awkward cabinet, like, next to
me. Yeah.
I just want to summarize real quick, because this could be said in a long way, but... what happens before, kind of during this scene, is that you have dialogue between her and Tyler, and what they do is, what ends up happening is they figured out that the piece of paper was watermarked, and it was torn off of a bank sheet, and they figure out that the place that it came from, which is Lucas's workplace, so, just so we don't have to cover that later. So,
yeah.
You do it!
Back to Tommy and his tarot cards. So he has these tarot cards. He's like, well, these are cool. Let's do this. She's like, okay, let's do it. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever. So he's like, flip over cards. So you get to choose what cards to pick, and, you know, like, whatever card you pick. He's like, all right, that one means something horrible happened.
Yeah. That
somebody's going to die. Oh, wow, that's bad. Let's try again. Oh, your life sucks, and the world is going to end. Wow.
And with each one of these, your mood goes down a little bit.
And it just gets worse and worse. He's like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'm just like, Carla, you're really taking this seriously? Stop. Stop it.
He even tells you, he's like, oh, these things are just...
Yeah,
just like, getting depressed. Yeah, that's okay. I was just like, oh God, I'm so sorry.
No, but like, the thing I was curious about, you know how there was like 20, like not 20, but like a lot of cars that come on the tape?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was just curious, it's just like, I wonder... Like, if we all didn't pick the same cards, obviously, but we all had the same responses, obviously.
Yeah, I didn't write down my responses.
Neither.
Well, basically, mine was just like, oh my God, this is gonna happen. Like, it was just one bad thing after.
Yeah.
It just got progressively worse, and I'm like, wow, that kinda sucks.
Hint, there is actually foreshadowing in that, a lot of what he says.
Yeah.
A lot of ways, yeah.
But, anyway.
What? See?
So that happened. Your gay friend comes over, does this tarot card reading, predicts your painful life, and that chapter pretty much ends. And you find out that the bank, and you basically at the end of it, Carla calls Tyler up, and they have this discussion about who can go to the office to try to figure out who
Tyler.
And which brings me to this question: who did you bring to the office to talk to, Lucas?
Tyler.
Yeah, definitely Tyler.
Did we clean sweep
Tyler?
I think we did.
All right, so Tyler, we're playing as Tyler. You get to the office. Did you? And this is the last chapter we're gonna cover for the purposes of part one of the podcast. So you fight your two sides finally meet, which is always exciting.
Yes.
And what did you guys do there in this part?
Well, as Lucas, it's like Lucas gets the premonition that Tyler's coming, so whatever your coworker's name, Winston, he's just there, whatever.
I hate him.
So, you get, like, as Lucas, I'm like, oh crap, cool, I took the bank sheet, I hid it, and I, like, hid all my stuff, the book, I hid,
mm-hmm.
Mickey, but then, like, when it gives you control of Lucas and, like, Tyler, but it makes you, like, enter as Lucas when Tyler's asking questions.
Yeah.
Tyler comes in, starts asking questions, and you're, like, fidgety and nervous, and then since you're back at work, but Lucas is still stressing out, so the bugs come back a little bit. And so Tyler will be just asking a routine questions. He's like, all right, so where were you the night of Jabarples? Whatever. And, like, Lucas will be like, oh, well, and then a bug will just be crawling on his chest. He'll be like, ah!
Yeah.
Oh, I was...
Yes.
I was here. Okay. Just all right. Like, I was okay. Just like, oh, you're alright?
Time out. You know what I did for this part? Like, the quick time event where you had to, like, brush the bug off or whatever, like, make it, like, realize the bug's there. I just completely put my controller down and I let it happen. And you know what happened?
What?
We just had a conversation.
Oh, really?
Like, he didn't even acknowledge the bugs. Like, nothing happened.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm like, I wonder if I don't acknowledge them, like, something battle, like, worse will happen if I do, or nothing, like, nothing happened.
That's
like,
interesting,
I answered the questions like that, and I'm just like, wow, okay, that's how I'm gonna go.
So, awesome. At some point, you end up leaving your office for a little bit, and you leave Tyler in there. And when you leave, you take control of Tyler, further tearing your whole, yeah. Who do you root for thing.
Yeah, so you spent, like, all this time.
And basically, you're rummaging through all the crap, all of Lucas's crap, trying to find out if it's him. And so for me, he came to the conclusion after my findings that it was Lucas.
Well, when I was playing, Tyler was just like, this guy looks exactly like the composites kid.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, he finds the Shakespeare book.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't find he didn't find the bank thing, but as Lucas, I said, yeah, because it was a joke option. He's like, no, this thing could have been printed up anywhere here. Heck, it could have been even printed in my office.
Right? Yeah, I said the same thing. So,
and I screwed myself over a little bit.
So, basically, did everybody have the same, pretty much the same result there?
Yeah, pretty much. Tyler looked around, saw things.
So, that's where we are right now. So,
yeah. I'm really excited to play the last half of the game, and because obviously, like, this is building to some really intense conflict.
Yeah, and like, I still all the unanswered questions about what actually is going on.
Yeah,
with Lucas
Payne. Yeah, like, this is way more than some like murder case, like trying to find a murderer. Stink skulking around. We are turning to Superman, apparently. Our apartment is trying to kill us. Like, what the hell is really going on?
Yeah. I'm so curious.
So.
I can't wait.
So next time we'll have the game done, we'll have an analysis of it, and we'll say what we think about it. So, as we draw to a close, I want you guys to talk about a little bit about what you're doing on Bitinator right now, and what our fans can look forward to see a little bit more of us and get to know us a little bit more. So, Kevin, what are you doing?
I will be making some episodes for a little web series called Kevin in the Dark. It's basically just me, just a little vlog where I wake up at ungodly hours of the night and talk about current events and real world issues, and I'm sure to put my own spin on it.
Oh yeah.
I saw that awesome promo video you sent out.
Yeah, promo video is
make sure you guys check that out. We'll be putting it on put that promo video right on the website. Well, we'll link you to it. Make sure you check that out.
Absolutely.
We'll even put it at the end of the podcast show notes for you.
Yes.
So Josh, I know you and Sam are working on a project together. What are you guys doing?
Oh yeah.
Oh. Josh, you can take this one.
Oh, okay. We figured. Oh, okay. We figured. We play a lot of games. We play plenty of games, and there's a lot of bad ones out there.
There are
a lot of bad ones, a lot of mediocre ones, a lot of average ones, a lot of not known ones, and there's plenty of criticism going around. So I don't understand it, but for some reason, Sam and I, we've been drawn to like these games. Maybe because of all the pop culture, maybe because they're just games. We love games.
The fact that they're really terrible.
Yeah, and we've been
and you're attracted to things that suck.
for some
okay. We've been playing a lot of them, and we just can't stop playing them, and we figured, well, there are some good qualities about them. I mean, with all this...
It's kind of like a sick idea, the fact that we played these really bad games, but it really, it clicked when we're just like, why don't we try to find some sort of, like, we want to find the good in the bad, you know, like, everybody deserves a second chance, so like, why not take these games that we love to
love to hate to play, it's a love.
Yeah.
Love to hate to love.
And just go through them and just try to find some redeeming qualities about them. And albeit we've started working on our first game, and this is probably, this is going to be a tough one.
Hey, don't, no spoilers, I can't.
I just wanted to say, but that is going to be coming very soon, so keep an eye out for that.
Cool, can't wait. As for me, I'm gonna be all over the website. I don't have anything that I'm ready to announce as of yet planned video-wise, but you can catch... but you can catch my articles, and I actually have something up right now. I asked each of our, a lot of our editors about E3 coming up, and what they're excited to see, and I have that up right now for you guys to read and even give your own opinions in the comments. So I really encourage you to do that. And of course, when E3 happens, we'll be having our own coverage, and we'll be writing about whatever we're excited about. So keep tuned on to the website. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.